You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back. I appreciate very much my friend Fred Flights handing off to me the baton to pick it up to discuss matters of great import with an old friend and colleague, Daniel Gallington, a man who served his country with great distinction in the uniform of the United States Air Force, as well as in a host of civilian capacities, notably as a Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Territorial Security, on Capitol Hill as General Counsel, I believe the last nonpartisan General Counsel to the U.S. Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, as a diplomat, a member of the U.S. delegation to the nuclear and space talks, a man, in short, of many parts. These days, he is an adjunct professor of law at the University of Illinois College of Law, and always a welcome guest here. Dan Gallington, welcome back. It's good to have you with us.
Thanks, Frank. And I was hoping you mentioned that I spent, during the 90s, about most of the 90s, at DOJ in what was then called Office of Intelligence Policy Review, which has morphed into the National Security Division, and the office, I was deputy in that office on the policy side, and that was the office that on the operations side prepared and submitted all the FISA requests to the FISA courts.
These are all attributes that make you an absolutely indispensable guest. I could spend the whole time talking about your CV, unfortunately, and lose a chance to talk with you about the subject matter, but let's do that. Dan, you, through these various roles in government and in the private sector, you have had an extraordinary opportunity to sort of assess the kinds of issues that are at play in this drama about the FISA court, the memos that the House counterpart to the committee you served on in the Senate have engaged in. Of late, you know, the competition to frame the narrative is very much in play as we speak, and I'm anxious to get your thoughts about it. So, Dan, what are we to make, we laymen, of all of this thrashing around about FISA and the court and the perhaps alleged abuse of some of its authorities?
Just for 10 seconds of background, this really isn't the first politicization of a sensitive national intelligence issue. You might recall that when the Democrats were in charge of the Senate, then Feinstein was the chairman of the SISI.
That's the Senate Select Committee for Intelligence. It's not defaming the senator.
Exactly. That they, in fact, did a Democratic staff investigation on the enhanced interrogation done by the CIA, and that Republicans wanted no part in it. It was purely a Democratic effort. So what's broken down, of course, in both the SSCI and the HPSI is the whole charter for those committees was to be bipartisan, to serve as Congress's eyes into the intelligence community and oversight. But what's happened, of course, with this latest drama is a total politicization. So here's your question is a good one. Here's what we have. We have a memo written by the Republicans that has been declassified by the president, the president being the ultimate classification authority on these memos. And what will happen now is the memo will be reviewed by the lawyers in the White House and by the classification people and by the NSC. The interesting thing and the politicization part that you referred to is that the Democrats opposed the release of the Republican memo, but the Republicans all voted to release the Democratic memo. And what both of these memos address is whether or not the FISA court was misled by the FBI and or the DOJ and who did what to whom and at what time, and was the FISA court complicit in any of this. And I don't believe in the complicity theory, but I do believe there's a reason for the FISA court to reopen these petitions and to take another very hard look at them. And, you know, the FISA court has plenary jurisdiction over the statute and the process. And it can, on its own motion, open up whatever it wants to and issue orders and ask questions and get in dialogues with the FBI and DOJ And these memos taken together might give them all the reason they need to do that.
Now, we should say, Dan Gellington, that as we speak, we have not seen the Democratic memo. It has been submitted, I gather, to the president for his consideration. But at least as at the moment we're having this conversation, we're speculating about what it says. It is described as a rebuttal to the first document, the four-page memo released by the House majority, the majority on the House Intelligence Committee last week. But Dan, on the basis of what we do know, what we have seen so far, your assessment, your professional judgment is there is enough smoke there for the court to want to look for the fire. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Because we're hearing from some critics now that, you know, it was a great nothing burger, and it, after all that buildup about how it was going to jeopardize national security, not much was in there, to the point where it didn't actually do what the Republicans have claimed it did, namely raise serious questions about possible misconduct here.
No, I think the Republican memo on its face does raise questions that the court needs to look into. Not only that, Frank, but the Office of Professional Responsibility at DOJ probably has reason to look into, again, once both of these memos are collated and analyzed, the Office of OPR probably has reason to look into the behavior, professional conduct of the lawyers involved going back to 2013 and to trace the evolution of this. What everybody wants to avoid, Republican and Democrat, is the politicization of the FISA process. My gosh, that would be an awful thing to have to deal with.
But what we're concerned about is that it may already have happened. Isn't that really the point of this whole exercise?
I agree with that, and that's why I believe the final shoe, the drop, will be what the FISA court does in reaction to this. And my prediction is that these judges will not stand by with the suggestion that somehow they were manipulated or that they didn't get the whole truth. They're going to want to get to the bottom of this and to find out exactly what it is. And I wouldn't be surprised if they issued supplementary opinions. And of course, there's a FISA appeals court that nobody really knows about. It's issued a couple of opinions over the years, but the FISA appeals court could also be energized. So I think the big shoe hasn't hit the floor yet, and the Democratic memo will have to be mixed in with all the other facts, and the FISA court will have to look at this critically. The Department of Justice, IG, and OIPR will have to look at it critically. The IG and the FBI, and you know, it's going to require a very microscopic look.
Yeah, and Dan Gellington, we've only got 30 seconds left, but in your professional judgment, is it likely that some of those named in the House majority memo may well find themselves in some jeopardy for criminal misconduct?
I wouldn't go that far, but I would say the politicization of the process is certainly suggested in the Republican memo. The Democrats, of course, are coming back and saying, oh, no, that never happened. But I think the FISA court will want to get to the bottom of it.
Dan Gellington, we have to leave it at that. Thank you so much for your time today and for your collective and extraordinary service to our country, which continues, of course, in the teaching of law at the University of Illinois College of Law. Keep it up, my friend. Come back to us again very soon, if you would. Next up, Dr. Mark Schneider, another of our longstanding and valued colleagues, talks about the Nuclear Posture Review and what the bad guys are making of it, and what you should make of it as well, right after this.